Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Jacqueline Smith, and she has been an animal communicator for nearly 30 years, and she's also had experiences in other directions, which we shall hear about. Welcome to the program, Jacqueline.
Thank you so much. Hello, it's great to be on.
Yes, well, we're glad to have you. I think the opening question always has to be, how did you get started?
Well, with animal communication, originally I was working as a psychic with people across the U.S., and I was also very interested in animals. I was working as a dog trainer and also a registered animal technician. And what happened to me is I was in a very severe car accident, so I could no longer do the physical work in terms of the animal technician work and dog training. And so what happened, I thought, gosh, how can I combine my psychic work with my love for animals? And this idea came to me to see if I could communicate telepathically with animals. So my very first experience was at a zoo. I was up at a zoo after hours with a friend, and I put out a question telepathically to a zebra who was standing across the exhibit, or a request, rather, and I said, if you can hear me, please walk over, stand in front of me, and look at me. Well, within 10 seconds, that zebra turned around, walked over, and stood right in front of me, and what I heard telepathically was, what do you want?
Wonderful, yeah.
And I was very taken aback by that, and I was grateful to have a witness. And so that was my very first experience, because this was long before any books were written about this subject.
Yeah.
And so I was off and running and haven't stopped since. I've just been working with animals nonstop for 30 years and having all kinds of fabulous experiences with them, and lots of validation from the universe as well. So I am.
When did that actually happen? What was the year when you had this first telepathic communication?
It was probably, I think it was 1979.
Oh, really? That's far back. Well, weren't you a bit taken aback when you got an answer?
Well, it was just astounding, because again, at that time, no one else in the country was doing this work, and there were no books about this work that I was aware of. And so the universe actually, I would say, opened up that path for me, and it became my life's work.
Yeah. I'm intrigued by this first one, because when the zebra answered you back telepathically and said, what do you want, did you then have a sort of conversation?
Good question. Actually, we did, and I was taken aback, and I was laughing. The person and I who were together, we were laughing because we couldn't believe it, what just had happened. And so I said to the zebra, I said, well, thank you for letting me know that you heard me. And the zebra responded with, how would you like to start learning how to talk to animals right now? And I said, yes. And right then and there, that zebra started teaching me how to communicate and open those lines. And I'm thrilled to say that animals did teach me this work. No human taught me this work.
Yeah.
So
would you believe that we have purposes in life, and that you were probably set up for that, to like give you that start?
Oh my gosh, yes. And it, you know, as fate would would have it, Mike, you know, the car accident was not a pleasant experience to go through whatsoever, but by being in that car accident, it really put me on my path, so to speak, because I started developing ways of meditating and expanding psychically even more than I had been. So and I was using meditation to heal, and all of these channels just started opening up. And actually, it took me a year to get them under control, so I wasn't picking up everything around me.
Yes.
So it feels like a very faded path to me.
So when you started and realized you could communicate telepathically, where did it go for there in the sense, what did you decide to use that ability for?
Well, I continued to work with people psychically, you know, doing consults with people in terms of issues, and I continued to actually develop my skills as an animal communicator because I was so fascinated by it, and I absolutely love animals, and I just kept learning more and more and more, and then I started offering my services as a communicator to people in every kind of area. I work with behavior, but I'm also able to look through the body and see what's going on with the body, what kind of problems there might be. So I work with every area you can imagine with animals, those who have crossed over, you know, and I work a lot with holistic health with animals as well, and also just in terms of working with the earth and the transition.
I can't recall if I read it or whether it was somebody else's interview, but I do recall a lady who specialised, if you like, in animal communication, but she dealt with animals that had problems, like they would sit on her couch and she would find out what their problems were, and often their problems were related to human beings, probably the people they were with. Do you do that sort of thing?
Oh, I do a great deal of that work, and oftentimes I do end up working much more with the person than I do the animal, and it's because animals do in fact pick up all our attitudes, all our feelings, and will often act those out, mirror them back to us, so we have the opportunity to look at our own attitudes and behavior issues. For example, if a person is having control issues, and let's say a dog is wanting to control, that can be a mirroring back and forth between the person and the dog, that they are both needing to work on those issues, perhaps from a soul level, and to work them out on this level. So I work with everything from, I've worked with actually animals who have obsessive compulsive behavior issues to, you know, animals who are doing their business, so to speak, in places they shouldn't be, or aggressive dogs. So I pretty much work with any kind of issue you can imagine.
Right. Dogs and cats, I guess, are people's main pets in this world we live in. Do you have any interesting experiences with cats?
Oh, my goodness. I have many, many interesting experiences with cats. I enjoy working with cats. Many of the cats typically do have the attitude in terms of I had one experience that was pretty funny, because every animal is different. Everyone has their own particular personality, just like every person does. And so some animals are very humorous and others are very serious and some are chatty and some are quiet. But I had one cat. I was communicating with a woman's cat in regard to her person was not feeding her the kind of food that she really wanted, and that's what she was communicating. And so the person said, well, I wondered because she gives me this kind of look when I put her food down. And so the cat, with great humor, said to me, gosh, isn't it too bad that you're a human? In other words, just saying, you know, it must be hard to be a human. And I said, yes, I understand cats are so superior to to humans. But I worked with a cat who was urinating on a couch. And the person said to me, I go to work every day and think of my cat urinating on the couch. And I said, well, isn't that interesting? I said, let's reframe that. And I said, please, when you go to work, I want you to think about your cat sleeping or playing while you're at work. And then I also communicated with a cat that that behavior was not wanted, and I sent her visual pictures of where she needed to be urinating, which was in the litter box, because animals see all the pictures in our minds.
Yeah.
So by changing these few things within 2 weeks, we had everything pretty much straightened out. So a lot of it was coming from the person who was visualizing this every day at work, and the cat was picking up the visual pictures and thinking, this is what my person wants me to do.
Oh, yes, yes. But it's interesting to know that they have this telepathic ability, and they seem to be tuned into a person the whole time, whether they are nearby or not.
You're absolutely correct about that. They are tuned into both our conscious and subconscious.
I'm absolutely amazed that there is so much in it. It wasn't until I read your notes and realized you've written one book and you're doing another one about animals, there was that much to know about them or to experience. Now, it's interesting to note that you've obviously given lots of talks on this subject, but you mentioned that you wrote a chapter on ascension and animals in your book called Animal Communication, Our Sacred Connection. Now, what have animals got to do with ascension?
Great question. I am so glad you asked that question.
Good.
Everything.
Yeah.
Because, and that's why I put the chapter in my book, I was told in no uncertain terms from a number of star beings, or ETs, whoever, whatever you wish to call them, to definitely get this last chapter in my book. And the importance of the chapter is to help awaken people to understanding that we are all one, that a soul is a soul, whether it be in a human body, whether it be in a polar bear body, whether it be in a dog body, and that each being has their mission and purpose here to do. And with ascension, many of the animals have communicated to me, and this really started in a much bigger way, I would say 6 or 7 years ago, talking about that they were here, that they had come from other galaxies and universes, that they had come here to help Earth rebalance her energies, to help Earth evolve into a new Earth, to help humans evolve into the beings who they truly are intended to be. And humans have egos. The animals do not. So the animals retain who they are. They remember who they are, where they're from. And they are energetically working globally with the electromagnetic fields as well as the Earth's meridians, as well as the Earth's grids, that they are in fact very, very busy doing this work, not only from the bodies they are in on Earth, but also multidimensionally speaking, and dimensionally, interdimensionally speaking, that they are working from many dimensions, like an aspect of the soul may be in the polar bear body, but other aspects of their souls are working interdimensionally around Earth and as well as within the solar system. So
yeah, that sounds very much like ourselves, because I understand we too have different aspects of ourselves. It sounds to me, from what you said, that these animal souls are, if not on a par with ourselves, perhaps in some cases even more highly spiritual. Would you think that is so?
It's interesting. I asked them that question because I'm just completing a book now that I've written about all of, you know, what they have all shared. I've now spoken with 44 different beings about all this and listening to what they have to say. And you're right about that. It's humans tend to forget. We have unfortunately forgotten who we are, why we're here, and we have forgotten that what's most important, and this is what the other animals remember, is to live from our heart and to live from love and oneness, and that the animals are aware that this is very much an illusion, you know, that the physical plane and density is illusion. They're very aware of that, where we humans are, which is terrific, back on the path to remembering that. So the animals are waking us up in many ways. They are our teachers and guides. They're really helping to, you know, activate the codes within us by simply loving us, you know, our companion dogs. When they love us, it opens our hearts, and that hope opens us to the process of ascension, which is all about spiritually evolving.
Yes. I mean, what have the animals communicated to you about this transition time?
Well, they've communicated a great deal, and some of the animals talk about, you know, how they're balancing energies, clearing away old boundaries, and what they have. Some of them have said, for example, some of what the whales say. Because I did a number of communications with them, they say, you know, we deeply desire to help humans understand that there are many forms of communication. Ours is a language of song, of light, of frequency. You cannot understand the way in which our brains and frequency work. It's beyond scientific thought. But our hope is that you will embrace love, embrace the whole, and understand that we are all one. We are not here to judge, but to teach and to guide humans into their soul's desire to evolve along with the Earth and every other living being in the cosmos. The human mind has a hard time expanding to understand the truth that we are all one, but the heart knows this is true.
Because we're going through this period which is leading to ascension, there are a lot of energetic changes or shifts. How do they affect the animals themselves?
Well, that's a great question, because they do affect the other animals, and of course they affect us as well. And the thing, because these beings are in animal bodies, they're going to be affected because of being in the physical body. So I have found, you know, as things are stepping up, as frequencies are being raised, as things are shifting, and again, I've been doing this work almost 30 years, and I've seen a huge shift, especially in the last 7 years or so. We are seeing more behavioral issues in terms of seizures, of animals suddenly biting, becoming disoriented, depressed, you know, just behavior shifts that the person has never seen before. For example, when the tsunami was going on in Eastern Asia, I had a woman call me, and she said, and this was before she knew the tsunami was going on, and she said, "My dog will not quit running up and down the steps. My dog just keeps running up and down and up and down." And what we discovered later was during the exact time that the tsunami and earthquake was happening in Indonesia, in that area. And when there are earthquakes and shifts like this, I get a lot of calls from people who are calling me saying, "My dog's acting really strange, you know, very depressed, and what's going on?" And so when things start to settle, then they start to settle in too, because their bodies, just like our bodies, are adjusting and trying to integrate the higher frequencies. So they are also blowing off old densities, old karmic ties from past lives. It's a clearing out process, just like many humans are going through. And it's difficult because most people are not listening telepathically to their animals.
Yeah. So recent times, I've seen a number of videos on the internet where you have the most unusual combinations of animal to birds or whatever, and they are in companionship of some kind.
Yes.
Things that you wouldn't perhaps imagine. You can see them visibly helping one another, and they're obviously exhibiting no fear between them, which might otherwise exist in their normal circumstances. Do you think that type of thing is happening because we're going through this transition?
Yes, and they are our teachers. The veils are thinning, and as the veils are thinning, the boundaries, you know, the part of ascension is about clearing away old boundaries. And so with that, I had a call from a woman in Virginia who said, "You'll never believe this. There's a hawk sitting on my picnic table next to a squirrel." You know, that's unheard of. And I said, "I do believe you." And I said, they are mirroring to us how all of us need to be getting along, and that we are all one. And, you know, it's been, you know, just some great stories in terms of different species who, like you said, in the past who have not been friendly are now friendly. And and the animals are really trying to open our eyes and say, "Look, we're kind of leading the path here for you. We want you to understand, if we as different species can get along, can you humans please get along?"
I agree. What is clear from this is, I suppose it's pretty obvious when you think about it, is that animals, birds or whatever, cannot actually communicate with one another. They don't have to necessarily be of the same species.
Animals are always communicating with one another telepathically. And it that does go beyond species barrier, and it goes beyond whatever physical gestures they might use. But the animal world, they are definitely communicating telepathically. It does tend to often stay within their species. Like, I've heard a number of cat conversations going on in a neighborhood at night. or dogs at a park. So telepathic communication is what is natural for all of us, and humans have forgotten that. So the animals are trying to remind us that this kind of communication is natural to all living forms, and it really is. When I teach workshops to people on this, I can honestly say 99% of the people have an experience validated within the workshop for their first time of being right on about a telepathic communication with an animal. So the animals want to remind us that this is what's natural, because remember, we're all connected energetically.
Yes.
So it's a very natural way of being. If people would open and listen, they could hear their dog companions or their cat companions or their snake companions. They could hear their fish companions, or they could hear the cat down the block.
Right.
So I teach many workshops on this, and people just love it, and they're really opening to this and really doing it. And to me, it's a very important part of ascension, because as we move through ascension, we will hear animals talk.
Yes.
So it's like us returning to the Garden of Eden, if you want to phrase it in that way, back to where we were before we had ego and duality and all of those difficult energies to live within.
I'm not surprised. It's often taken my notice that when you walk or drive past a field that has horses in, they're often just standing around in a little group, and they don't appear to be moving, but there seems to be an intensity about the way they look, although they don't seem to be doing anything. And it really looks as though they're, two or three of them are just standing there telepathically communicating with one another, because they seem to be so intent on just staying where they are.
And that's exactly what they're doing. They are communicating telepathically with one another. I work with a lot of horses, and I work with horses in stables, and I can hear all of them, like, you know, I like so-and-so, but I'm not so sure about so-and-so, and this horse is bullying me. Yes, and that's in the personality level, and it's like, I want to be out in the pasture more. So they are all communicating telepathically. And beyond that, when we, again, focus on the soul level, Mike, they are doing what they are here to do. Perhaps those three or four horses who are standing in what appears to be a circle or just kind of hanging out are actually perhaps doing energy work with that very land that they're standing on. They can be clearing away old frequencies and anchoring in new frequencies for the earth. So, you know, we often think animals might not be doing something, but in fact, they are doing just an enormous amount of work to help the earth rebirth.
It certainly opens up another line of thought that perhaps a lot of people, including myself, haven't really taken a lot of notice of. With all the different types of animals, etc., that you've communicated with, do they have a sense of humor?
Oh, my, yes.
Right.
Some of them are so funny. I really have to maintain my presence while I'm communicating with them, so that the person who's on the phone with me, because I do a lot of my work over the phone, is not wondering what I'm doing, you know? But some of them are so funny. I mean, it's just very hard to kind of maintain. You know, yeah. Again, the cast can be very cynical, you know, gosh, it must be, you know, what a drag it must be to be a human, you know.
Yeah.
Or for example, and this was Man in Good Humor, a woman called me from New York and said, I'm going on vacation and I'm very, very worried about my dog being here alone. I'm worried if he's going to be okay. And gosh, I hate to leave him. And so she was just very worked up about this. And of course, the dog is picking up all of this, right? So I'm communicating with the dog, letting, the dog know that his person's going on vacation. And the dog, again, in good humor, said to me, oh, please, just tell her to go, I'll be fine, you know.
Yeah.
And again, like, just get her out of here because she's driving me crazy with worrying about leaving me,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Rather than I will be fine, you know.
Yeah.
So,
interesting.
Every soul, every animal I get to communicate with, it's great. It's very joyful for me. It's fun. I mean, the more serious cases, it's a lot of hard work when I have to work with animals who are very aggressive.
Yeah.
But every being is different. Every being,
yeah,
is totally different. So I get to meet all these incredible souls and beings. I've worked with llamas, bats, dolphins, killer,
yeah,
whales, snakes. I've worked with killer whales at some of the places here in the U.S., SeaWorld, worked with different zoos. So I get to work with a lot of incredible beings, and they're easier to work with than humans because they don't have the ego that gets in the way.
No.
So I can say, think about.
In your experience, this is probably a hard question to answer, really, but what do you think are the most sort of interesting animals that you've ever had to deal with?
I knew you were going to ask that.
Did you?
No.
Oh, you're telepathic with humans as well. Yes.
Oh, gosh. You know what? This is 30 years of my doing this, and I have to say that there isn't a particular species, but there are individuals from different species who are really quite amazing to work with. For example, I have worked with some highly evolved souls who we could call them the Dalai Lamas of the animal world.
Yeah.
Who I've worked with one cat who basically sits and meditates a lot of the day looking out the window, and she said, I'm working with the frequencies globally, and she said there's a network that I'm connected to of cats throughout the world, and we are working to rebalance, you know, the energies globally. And I'm also a clairvoyant, so I get to see, they show me,
oh, right,
what they're doing, which is just phenomenal. And when these beings start to talk about who they are and what they do, it just truly is bliss and amazing. And for example, I recently communicated with some manta rays,
yeah,
and, what they say, you know, we're angels living beneath the sea, and they say, you know, we're working to affect the energies throughout the waters, and they talk about a network of manta rays, dolphins, and ocean beings who are maintaining the Earth's grids to anchor in the new vibration. They talk about, and they showed me this, Mike, they actually took me, because I just go with them astrally. And they took me under the oceans and started showing me all the dimensions under the oceans.
Wow.
And it just totally blew me away. I'm going, oh, my gosh, why have I not thought of this before? And they go, well, this is why we're showing you.
Mm. And are you talking about something that generally is known as the cities of the inner earth?
I'm sorry?
When you were talking about they were showing you the inner dimensions, was that relating to what is known as the inner earth cities?
They took me through numerous dimensions, showing me a lot of different beings who are etheric beings.
Yeah.
Not only in the oceans, and they went, well, go with us deeper, and they took me straight in to the earth, and they said, boy, you know, there are so many worlds and dimensions here that nobody knows about. And they said, we want to share this with you so that you'll tell others. And so they showed me all different kinds of, again, interdimensional and etheric beings who are doing quite a bit of work, you know, for the earth. And they talk about how important, how connected they are to the moon and how important the moon is, because, you know, gosh, without the moon, Earth would not be able to maintain, the moon maintains the steady wobble and maintains Earth on her path. Without the moon, we would be in huge trouble. So they talk about how important the moon is and how they communicate with beings on the moon. And
well, I guess it must be important, if only because the interaction of the energies causes the wave motion, doesn't it, on the Earth, which helps to cleanse, cleanse the beaches and whatever. You need movement.
Absolutely. So, you know, again, all these beings came to me. I've had so many synchronicities and things happen. It's just been outrageously wonderful. I mean, for example, and I am connected to star beings. In 1982, a star being group showed up, and I started communications with them. And they have woven and brought me in to all of this. And I was sitting, you know, standing in my living room, and I said, gosh, I don't know how much of these conversations with animal cells to print out to share with my editor. My computer on its own started printing out. Started printing out what they wanted me to share with the editor at that point in
that's
time.
Wonderful. Yeah.
So lots of stories like that they're busy keeping me on track.
I think the average person would probably feel that the most intelligent animals are probably the dolphins. Does that come over to you the same way, or are they on a slightly, say, higher level than some others?
I think that dolphins, I have done work with dolphins, and they are very highly evolved beings. There is no question about that. And they are doing a great deal of multidimensional work and interdimensional work. And they are really trying to help humans as well as the Earth. They're really trying to wake us up. And they have communicated to me, you know, we desire for you to not try and measure our intelligence. We desire for you to listen to our frequencies and our sounds and our tones, and to learn that way and listen with your heart rather than trying to, you know, measure with instruments the intelligent, because they say you're missing the whole point.
Now, there appears to be a difference between the soul energy of wild animals who seem to have a group soul to domestic animals that seem to have become their own soul, as it were, if that's the right way to describe it. Do you find a difference between wild animals to domesticated?
That's a good question. And I, from what the animals share with me, is that, you know, they do have individual souls, but there are some species who, when I've communicated with them, they talk about being of a group consciousness, or they can be that they are part of a group consciousness, and they can be an individual soul. It's not exclusive. Yeah. It's not one or the other. I spent a while in Africa and South America as well, going out into the bush and communicating with some animals who had never seen humans. And they did communicate to me saying that we do indeed have individual souls, and we are not lesser than humans. We are not greater than humans. The lesson is that we are all equal because we are all of the same creator's light. We are all light.
Yeah.
And that's part of the big lesson for humans to learn, is that we're all in different packages, but the soul energy is soul energy, and we're all in our different place of where we're at in our evolutionary process. So the wild animals are not lower than domesticated animals. Domesticated animals have agreed from a soul level to be in partnership with humans to sometimes learn about humans because they're curious. They want to have an adventure on Earth because many of these beings come from really distant universes. And they're here in partnership, again, to really help in a big way, to be our teachers, to open to the ascension process, to focus on heart energy, because dogs are about heart energy, aren't they? They love us unconditionally, and that's the whole point about ascension, is love. And so what better beings to mirror that to us, because we have that within us, than say dogs. And they are constantly trying to help us. Now, some have really, unfortunately, gotten messed up, lost their way because of being abused. And on the personality level, they forget who they are, but from the soul level, they do not forget. But I work with many rescue animals, many animals who have been abused. And it's very
I imagine you must get quite a few people that come to you who are worried about their pets because they seem to be ill in some way and they can't seem to determine what it is. Does that happen often?
Yes. A lot of people call me in terms of wanting to know what's going on because they cannot understand. And I'm very much a bottom line person. I'll communicate with the animal. I'll say what's going on, and my intention is, and the animals always see my heart. My intention is to help. And to go to very bottom line of what the issues are, and then I share that with the person and give them practical ways as to how to work with you know, those issues. So obviously, you know, I work in very practical, grounded ways because we have to work not only with the inside, but also the outside, you know, like we would with a child. So it's very much working with that. And then I also do a lot of soul recovery work, which is a lot of animals who fractured from trauma, because being a clairvoyant, I can look at their energy fields and clear the trauma away, bring back the parts of them that have been dissociated, and align their chakra systems with their high self and soul and creator, and help them regain their wholeness. And it's just other beings on the other side taught me how to do that work, and it's just having really miraculous results. It's not about me. It's about the work. And within a week, animals just change.
Right. Now, we've established, obviously, that you can communicate telepathically with animals, and you say you're also clairvoyant. Can you still do that with humans, or is the sort of wavelength you're working on quite different and doesn't apply quite in the same way?
Well, I do work with humans. I do consults with humans who want to better understand perhaps their issues or where they're going spiritually or anything else they might want to know about. And so I work very much in the same way, trying to go to bottom line. And I am able to see someone's aura and see what's going on and to tell them what might be going on in their body as well. And or, you know, relationships or whatever. So I work, I still work a great deal with, as a psychic with people as well.
Right. I suppose what I was really getting at, which was my main interest there, was can you telepathically communicate with humans?
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, okay, this is the difference. Good question. There are some humans, but these are mainly friends, that it's much easier to do that with. The reason why it's more challenging to just do that with a human, I mean, I can read a human, but to actually do the telepathic communications back and forth is if they're not aware of it and how to do it, they can't send. Now, I can send and receive, but they don't know how to do either.
Right, yes, I see.
The animals, intuitively, they have retained their intuitiveness and instincts. Unfortunately, we humans have forgotten ours because it's not encouraged in school or usually by parents. And so it's there, but it's beneath. So it makes it much more challenging to do that. And then we always have the issue of the ego.
Right, yes. question I wanted to ask you is regarding your communication, which I think you mentioned a bit earlier, with ETs from, I guess, perhaps inside our solar system or outside. Do you know if you have a direct connection with these people you have that contact with? I mean, have you come from one of these groups?
Yes, actually, yes. The group that actually showed up in 82, I started having these long conversations with them, and fortunately I had typed out the conversations and kept them. They say, we would like you to know that you have originated from us, that we are around you. You are from a group consciousness, but you do have your individual soul, and that your soul agreed to come to Earth and do this work. And initially I was like, they showed up later on, and I said, well, talking about ascension, and I said, well, I'm just an animal communicator. They were all laughing. They just laughed and laughed and said, no, you don't understand. You know, that's what this is all about. We're expanding you. So I am connected to a group that talks about being from another universe, an etheric, but I have had, you know, as a child, I did have multiple abductions. And
you did, right, yeah.
Yes, and there's a number of groups who were contacting me in very physical ways. I mean, they would show up. They would show up in my living room. Clocks would stop. Objects would fall over. I have seeing objects disappear in front of my eyes. So they really were breaking me in to these kinds of things. And then I started writing a lot about quantum physics, which I've never taken a science course.
All right. You sound very sort of laid back about all of this, so presumably this sort of contact and what is happening has never actually frightened you at all.
Yes. Early on, yes. I had a very hard time, and I had some experiences that were quite frightening.
Frightening.
Yeah, and they were trying to, my group, the group I'm come from and connected to, they said, we're trying to get you accustomed to this, and you know, we're putting you through this at such a fast pace. We know this is hard, but this is the only way we know to really get you so speeded up that you're doing what you're here to do. And I've had 7 Kundalini openings.
Right. Carry on with what? You were going to finish off your sentence tonight.
Yeah, I was just going to say I had 7 Kundalini openings, which is too many, that was a huge, huge, huge challenge. But through that, they were saying the whole point of this is to expand you. We are literally expanding your brain and expanding you multidimensionally.
Right.
So
you must be quite good at it by now after all these years. we're getting near the end of the program, believe it or not, and I want to give you a little time in a couple of minutes to tell our listeners about your website and your your book and that's already in print and the one that you're doing. But the question that I'm sure they would like to ask you is, and you can be brief about this, because they can come to one of your workshops if they want to know more, is, but what tips would you give people on opening themselves up so that they could hear what their animal friends were trying to communicate to them?
Okay, that's a good question, and I have a whole chapter on that in my book. But basically, it really is very simple. If we get quiet, and some people, I guess we could call it meditation or relaxation, get very quiet and just open their hearts and to listen and imagine themselves like an empty glass, they will be able to hear what the animal or being is communicating through thoughts, pictures, words, and feelings, because that's how it comes to us. We can ask a question.
Okay, that's great. Don't say any more there, because we're in danger of running out of time otherwise.
Okay.
Tell our listeners about what your website address is. You have details of your workshops on it, and you can mention whatever you like in connection with your books and tell them where it's available from.
Okay, thank you. My website is www.jacquelinesmith.com. Jacqueline is spelled JACQUELIN. And at my website, you know, you'll learn all about me, workshops. The name of my book is Animal Communication, Our Sacred Connection. And you can, the best place to get it is at Amazon.com. And the book I am currently completing, I hope will be out within the next year. That book is Conversations with Animal Souls. And I'm very excited about it, of course. But that will be coming out hopefully within the next year and a half. And you can learn a great deal from my book. It's very comprehensive. I have chapters on animals who have crossed over and communications and beyond death, reincarnation, evolution with what's going on. I also track lost animals, work with all kinds of behavioral issues, and talk about my experiences in Africa and give a whole chapter on how to communicate with animals.
That's brilliant. Yeah, that's fine. Well, you've worked that in very nicely, because we're coming up to the end of our 55 minutes. I take the last minute just to tell our listeners who we've got coming on next week. So thank you very much for coming on, Jacqueline. It's been extremely interesting. It's opened my eyes to quite a lot of new things, I must admit. I am an animal lover. I've had quite a number of cats, and I've always thought they were very intelligent. And now I realise they were more intelligent than I thought. Anyway, thank you very much for coming on. It's been truly interesting, and I'm sure our listeners have really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Mike. I've so enjoyed being on your show.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike.
Fine. Well, I'm sure, listeners, I was correct there, that you thoroughly enjoyed that. Certainly something very different. My guest next week will be... hold on, when I can find his name here. Yes, will be Dr. Nick Good. He is an author, and he is a life coach and a motivational speaker. He's a doctor of metaphysics and divinity, and also an ordained minister. And what he does, he brings a message of amazing possibility for those of us who choose to discover ourselves and bring the very best out of ourselves in these times of great challenge and opportunity. So his book is called Amazing Grace, as it happens. So thank you very much for being with me today. I do hope you can be with me next week. God bless you all.